we're just in the nick of time. What does that make us?
Big damn heroes, sir.
Ain't we just?
See something down there, Chief?
No, I just think I'm gonna barf.
Bring me everyone.
What do you mean, everyone?
Everyone!
Hello and welcome to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM, a film and TV radio show where a handful of film enthusiasts shoot the breeze about all things film and television. My name is Marcus E. Acko, and I'm going to throw Laura here because we kind of switched up what the introductory thing was going to be. We're going to say what our favorite... Well, what did we agree our favorite thing was going to be? That's it. The TV show I'm currently watching is Jessica Jones on Netflix.
The TV show I'm currently watching, thanks very much, Marcus, for giving me any notice at all, is re-watching American Gods, ready for the next series.
American Gods, on Amazon. Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's good. And with us in the studio, we have two guests. Please tell us your name and what you are currently watching on television. We'll start with you.
Okay. My name is Craig Conway. And actually, at the moment, I've been watching little bits of The Sopranos again.
Catching up. I heard a rumor today, but we'll come back to that, to The Sopranos, in a second. Also with us in the studio, please tell us your name and what you're currently watching.
My name is Harvey Reese Halfpenny, and I have been watching RuPaul's Drag Race for season 9.
RuPaul's Drag Race. Now, I haven't caught an episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. I've heard about it, but I haven't watched it. Tell us what it's about.
It's about these drag queens who think that they like to dress up as a girl, and you win a cash prize of $100,000 and a cruise by Al and Chuck .travel.
Oh, excellent.
Look at that. He even knows the sponsor.
What channel is that on?
It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix at the moment. Okay. I think they might be on terrestrial or maybe Sky, but I know it's on Netflix. It definitely is on Netflix. I haven't watched it yet. Do you recommend I go watch it?
Yes, it's also on Comedy Central All-Stars.
That's the one. Yes, Comedy Central. I've seen it advertised on Comedy Central, but I haven't checked it out. Craig, you said you're rewatching Sopranos.
Yeah. Funny enough, thinking about coming on the show, and we were chatting about things to talk about and stuff. But and so later on, I'll kind of come back to why. But it's just one of those classic shows, and it's just beautifully done in every way.
Absolutely. David Chase created the show Sopranos. If you don't know what The Sopranos is, then you've not watched television. You've been hiding under a rock. James Gandolfini played Tony Soprano, head of a mafia family, and it went for about 7 seasons.
Yeah.
Fantastic show. The rumor I heard is that they're doing a movie, but it's going to be a prequel. So obviously it's not going to be James Gandolfini as Tony Soprano because he's dead.
Yeah.
So they'll probably just go back. They'll probably bring Michael Imperioli, who plays the nephew.
Yes.
They'll probably
bring him
back to play a sort of like a cameo or something like that. But that I'm looking forward to. But I'm on Jessica Jones at the moment. We talked about Marvel. We'll talk about more about Marvel later on as well. But yeah, season 2 came out yesterday, and I started watching that again. So Harvey, let's throw this to you. Have you caught any of the Marvel Netflix series?
Well, I have been. I've watched Black Panther with my mum.
Okay, so that's the movie. Okay, did you like it?
Yeah, I liked it.
We're going to talk about that a lot more later because we are huge fans of Black Panther here in the studio. You're listening to Resonance 104.4 FM. This show is Shoot the Breeze. My name is Marcus E. Acko.
And I'm Laura Sampson.
You forgot your name.
I blame you.
Why do you blame me? How do you blame me?
For asking me about American Gods, which is so close to my heart that I can't talk about it without notice.
Okay, fair enough. You've just been watching it, so you should be able to talk about it.
It's so good. Do you just want me to say that for the next hour?
Because sure, you
I
can.
I absolutely will.
I'm
a massive fan of myths and epics, and I really love the way that the TV series has chosen to bring all the characters that I know from hearing people tell stories about them and from reading about them and finding out what the filmmakers think that they look like, a particular highlight of the thing is the god Anubis, who kind of waits for people as at the moment they die, and he's kind of a Grim Reaper character, but so much better.
See, I liked American Gods. I thought it was a lot of style over substance for me personally to start off with. It took a long time to get into it. By episode 5, I was there.
As TV, I really agree. But as a book, a fairly faithful book adaptation of a very long book, which kind of meanders through the world because it really enjoys what it can see and hear, that the first few episodes did that for me in a similarly pleasurable way than the book.
I will stop knocking it because it's one of your favourite shows. You're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. If you haven't already seen any of the Facebook messages or the Twitter messages, we are live streaming, so go on our Facebook page at Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. You can see this lovely mug. You may not necessarily see Laura because she's hiding. I don't know why she keeps... We won't go there. But we also have Craig Conway in the studio with us, and we have Harvey. I'm gonna butcher this, but it's Harvey Halfpenny?
Yes.
Okay. So we lovely guests are coming in. Craig is a actor, producer. He's going to be telling us about his projects in a few minutes. Harvey will also be telling us about projects that he'd like to do in the future. He's already given us examples or synopsises for Coco 2, for Incredibles 3, for Toy Story 4. We'll probably hear a little bit more about that. But before we get to that, let's do a little bit of film and TV news. Do you have the jingle for that? Because I've got it ready if you want it. Now everybody can hear you. All right, so the Oscars was this Sunday. We have to do one last throwback to the Oscars and then bury it for good. We did a prediction at the start of the season. I marked out what I predicted, and I only just checked it before the show came on, and I missed two.
Which ones did you miss? And then we'll talk about the ones that you got.
All right, so the ones I missed were Best Supporting Actress and Best Supporting Actor.
Those are usually quite hard to call. Who were the nominees again?
Nominees were Mary J. Blige from Mudbound.
Allison, she was really brilliant in that. Did you see it? It's actually on
Netflix.
On Amazon Prime.
Oh, on Amazon Prime as well? Okay, fair enough. I guess it would be on Netflix. It's a Netflix movie, so...
Netflix.
Yeah. It's a major Blige. I was like, yeah, how did Amazon have a Netflix show? That's interesting. So Mary J. Blige, Allison Jenny, Manville, that's it. It's Leslie Manville.
She was quite astounding in that film. I can't say I really loved the film. I was sitting there thinking, oh, okay, there's still an hour to go. But whenever she came on, there was a kind of menace to her.
Okay.
She never said anything rude. She never moved fast even, but she was just there like someone who follows you in a nightmare.
Yeah.
Oh.
But my choice would have been Laurie Metcalf for Lady Bird. And last person was Octavia Spencer for The Shape of Water. The person who won it was Allison Janney for I, Tonya. And had I paid attention to all the, festivals beforehand, all the other award shows, I would have known that Allison Janney would have taken it. I'm a huge Allison Janney fan from The West Wing, and all the other stuff she's done, but she took it, and I missed that.
Anyway. Having seen all of those films, I think it would have been quite a hard one to call. I think Allison Janney won because she was the most extreme.
You think? Okay, fair enough.
She just played. Have you seen
I haven't seen Lady Bird yet. I haven't seen I, Tonya yet, so I can't tell. But I trust her. I trust her work. I've seen clips of it, and
Once you've seen it, we'll discuss it.
Fair enough. I'll have a look. Next one I didn't get was Best Supporting Actor. The contenders were Willem Dafoe for The Florida Project, Woody Harrelson for Three Billboards, Richard Jenkins for The Shape of Water, Christopher Plummer for All the Money in the World, and Sam Rockwell for Three Billboards. I thought Willem Dafoe would get it. And one of the reasons I thought Willem Dafoe would get it is because, he was great in The Florida Project, but also it's kind of like he's been around for a long time. He's been consistently great in terrible movies. You watch the movie just because of him. He's fantastic in everything he does. So I figured it was his time. Mm. But Sam Rockwell, Sam Rockwell. It's just, have you seen three? You haven't had the chance to see
Three.
I haven't
had the chance to see, but I love Sam Rockwell. He's one of my all time favourite actors.
You will not be disappointed by his performance.
And that's the thing.
I
would say the same thing I just said about Willem Dafoe, I'd say exactly the same thing about Sam Rockwell. He's an unstoppable force in anything he does. Even a terrible movie is uplifted because he's in it. So he won it. Those are the two I didn't get. Everything else, however, I predicted. Best actor, I knew was going to be. I'm going to sound like I'm tooting my own horn here, but I'll be very quick because I'm rarely ever right. So I'm just going to go through
these Oscars, though. I think it was fairly.
You're
going to
say it's fairly predictable. Do not say it was fairly predictable. Because you're taking your steam, my thunder.
It was less unpredictable than it might otherwise have been.
Okay, yeah, you're right. That's the reason why I was able to get as many as I could get, because it was fairly predictable. It was predictable that Shape of Water was going to take it. It was predictable that Guillermo del Toro was going to take Best Director as well. Best Actress, obviously, Frances McDormand. She deserved it because she was fascinating in that movie. Best Actor, like I said, Gary Oldman took it for The Dark Hour, The Darkest Hour. Hence the reason why I put why we had the two clips. We had Frances McDormand from the other film that she won Best Picture for, which is Fargo, and Gary Oldman from Leon, which he was just fantastic in that movie. He's long deserved an Oscar. Darkest Hour, I knew he was going to take it, but it's great. Oscars are now done. And moved on. We can now begin a new year of brand new movies and not have to worry about Oscar buzz at all. Go on.
Not without being delighted about the Best Screenplay Oscar win.
Absolutely.
And the completely obvious animated feature win that was Coco.
Yes. Speaking of Coco, Harvey, you say you saw Coco, right?
Yes, I did.
What did you think of Coco?
I thought it was very good, but I think Book of Life really was better than it.
You thought Book of Life was better than Coco?
Yes, I thought it was, only because Coco kind of took Book of Life and took it into consideration, but they didn't really make it come to life.
Okay, I see. So you're saying the Book of Life, the story, Coco kind of covered the same ground that Book of Life had covered?
Yes.
Okay. You know what? Funny you should say that. I really liked Book of Life too. I loved the songs in Book of Life. Funnily enough, I preferred the songs in Book of Life to Coco. I loved Coco. I thought Coco was a great film, but I preferred the songs in Book of Life. So,
Book of Life. Guillermo del Toro was a producer on that.
Absolutely,
wasn't
he? Yeah. Yes. And it's got Channing Tatum in it, and not Gael Garcia. I always butcher his name. Gael Garcia, not him, but the other guy that is always, they always team up in, Diego Luna, they always team up in projects together. He's the one in Book of Life, so I prefer that one to well, I say prefer. Coco is a brilliant movie, but anyway. So you said you were Harvey, you said that you wanted to do a Coco 2. Do you feel there's room for Coco 2?
Yes, I do, because there should be a Book of Life 2.
Okay.
And if there is, I think that maybe the bad guy should be, like, the role model of that show, Coco, because you didn't get to see any bad guys in it except for the dad. But you could have, like, the dad coming back half skeleton, maybe half human. Maybe he's discovered how to come back home.
Funny that you say half skeleton in Coco 2. You said a similar thing for your pitch for Toy Story 4, right? I know there's a Toy Story 4, so let's go for Toy Story 5. Craig, we will come back to you in a second. But Harvey, you had an interesting pitch for Toy Story 5. What was your pitch for Toy Story 5?
My pitch was maybe Stinky Pete from Toy Story 2 and Hug Bear thing.
Yep. Lotso Hug, yeah.
Maybe they could come back, like Hugzo should be like half ripped. And then his whole body is just like a bear suit. And then Stinky Pete should be like a melting, kind of already a Pete melting kind of stage. But not fully melted. But if you defeat them, then he'll like... And if you get him back in the fire, his whole body will eventually melt.
So it completes the process.
Yes.
And you have those two villains from previous movies combining together to fight the good guys, Woody, Buzz, and so on.
Yes, but I do think Andy should come back in the movie because you don't get to see him until he leaves, and then I want to see him more to see if it's actually in the like movies where they're like, really, it's just the animation, and then he just come back and then he's like, Andy's like, you know those guys, you know you aren't real, and they're like, and then it just pauses, and then that's the end of the whole series.
You listen to that, Pixar? Yeah, how yeah. We've got a pitch for you for Toy Story 5. You're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Marcus E. Acko.
And I'm Laura Sampson.
We're on Facebook Live, and with us today in the studio, we've got Craig Conway.
Hello.
And we've got Harvey Halfpenny, who's just pitching us idea after idea. Rather than shell out all these great ideas into the world for everyone to listen to, let's talk to your dad for a second. Is it okay we talk to your dad?
Yeah, that's fine.
Excellent. That's good. Excellent. Craig.
Hi.
Thank you for coming into the show.
That's okay. Yeah.
You've been busy at the moment with the film festival, haven't you?
Yeah, that's right. It's the launch coming soon for the Newcastle International Film Festival, which is the first of its kind then.
Okay.
So we've got 87 countries.
87?
Yeah, 250 movies playing over 4 days.
Okay.
Well over 2,000 entrants, and films from all over the world, Australia, India, you name it, well, yeah, 87 countries worth. So yeah, it's 4 days of events, films, screenings, shorts, features, comedies, dramas, you name it, we've got it in there, panels, workshops.
When's the launch?
It will be the 29th of March till the 1st of April, so it's the Easter weekend.
Easter weekend, yeah. Okay, excellent, yeah. Excellent. So you said workshops, because that's one of the things I really like about festivals. You can go there, and not only can you see movies that you would never get the chance to see at the cinema, or you won't get the chance to see at the cinema, is the opportunity to interact with people in the business, to learn from other people in the business as well when you have those workshops. And I highly recommend filmmakers who listen to this show, go to the festival, go and mingle, get yourselves involved in those workshops. Do you have any ideas of any of the workshops that are going to be running at your festival?
Yeah, we've got a kind of scene to screen panel and workshop, so there's kind of 3 to 4 hours there.
Okay.
Of a mixed panel of people, producers, distributors, writers, directors, who are going to be guiding you on independent filmmaking, how you can get in there, talking about finance, talking about how you raise finance, how the finance works. But I think also in this day and age, especially with all the distribution platforms now, it's all about this thing of how does the filmmaker not only get his film made, but how does it get out there and how does he get something back? Because there seems to be a big trend at the moment of a lot of creatives never seeing any of that.
So if anyone wants to know more about the festival, where can they go?
So they just go online and go to www.newcastlefestival.co.uk, and you can follow on Twitter at Newcastle Fest.
Perfect. We're going to be putting those web links on our Facebook page and sending it on Twitter. Our Facebook page, if you don't already know it, is at Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM, and our Twitter handle is at STB_Resonance FM. We're going to post this out. We'll post live. We'll talk about those. Here's what I want to talk about to you, Craig. I want to talk about your film history, because I've known you more as an actor before I found out that you were doing your film festival, and 3 movies in particular that just spring to mind. You got Dog Soldiers, The Descent, and Doomsday. Those 3 spring to mind because that's where I've seen those, where I saw you first. You check your IMDb page, those pretty much loom big there, and one thing that connects all 3 of them, Neil Marshall. So you're close, you're tight with Neil Marshall, right?
Yeah, he's one of my oldest friends, really. I mean, we met, you know, years back. I was doing a lot of theatre. I used to tour pretty much all over the UK and around Europe, but at the time, we're talking, it was the introduction to multimedia theatre, you know. So there was all of this experimentation going on. There was a lot of physical theatre along with huge screens of film everywhere. And we used to meet and chat about ideas. And Neil was an editor at the time.
Okay.
So we would catch up and talk, and he said, look, let's make a short together. We made this little thing called Combat, which was great. It was a kind of a love story gone wrong, which was all done to the soundtrack of kind of the Second World War.
Okay.
And it was just a great little thing, all these little characters. Anyway, he also handed us this script and said, look, it's about werewolves. Soldiers, werewolves, football, and a lot of things going wrong. So we all looked at that and said, yeah, let's do this. Dog Soldiers, we're liking this. And then sure enough, it got greenlit. And that was the journey for me and Pertwee, me Anna Buring, all of those. You know, that was it. We were on board with them and stayed with them for several years. as we just went from movie to movie to movie.
Yeah, I mean those three. You weren't in Centurion, which is Neil Marshall's. Or were you in Centurion?
No, we weren't. In fact, most of the cast of Doomsday.
Yeah.
What happened with Centurion? Doomsday didn't. It's doing better now than it ever did then.
Okay.
I think the American market thought, what's going on?
Yeah, true.
And the British market, there was a little bit of an overkill to where people were going, there's just so much in there. We don't really know how to place this. And so the producers of Centurion basically said, Neil, you can't work with any of your friends. So we were ousted.
How rude.
I know, how rude indeed. But we've all been coming back together and we have a few plans. We're talking, myself, Pertwee and Neil, about a project next year, and I've just came off the set of the new Hellboy with him as well.
I was not going to ask. I did speak to you outside the show, but I was going to say, no, I'll keep that separate because we've talked about Neil Marshall a bit. I'm not going to mention Hellboy because those of you who don't know, Neil Marshall is attached to do the Hellboy reboot with David Harbour as new Hellboy.
Yeah. Now, that's what I wanted to talk about at the beginning of the show. I came into the room thinking, oh, yeah, I can talk about my favourite Guillermo del Toro film.
Yeah.
No.
No. We ruined you.
Unfortunately, no. Which was the original. That was going to be the original topic at the introduction, your favorite Guillermo del Toro movie. But no, we had someone in the studio who basically vetoed that, which is Harvey. So Harvey, basically, we wanted to talk about something that Harvey is interested in. And he was a brilliant ambassador for RuPaul's Drag Race. So, I mean, now I'm going to go watch that because our guest has recommended it.
So good.
But before we jump back to you, Harvey, we will come back to you, Harvey, just in one second. One question I just want to ask your dad before. So you've recently wrapped up on two projects. The name's escaped me again. Mara. Final Score.
Final Score.
Okay,
yeah,
tell us about
Mara
that.
Is a first-time director, Clive Tonge, from up in Teesside area in the northeast, and we met again several years ago knocking about with Neil and Scott Mann. So that film was produced by Scott Mann. We went out into Savannah, and it's myself and Olga Kovalenko. Written by Jonathan Frank. It's fantastic, and it's all about sleep demons. It's a very, very dark film.
Excellent.
But beautifully, beautifully done. So I'm looking forward. That's just got a release in the US, I think. So they're getting ready for that to go theatrical.
Do we need to go to the US to?
No.
See
do you
it?
Know? I've just received a phone call while we were here before from Scott Mann.
Okay.
And I was trying to find out for you what is happening with
What's the
UK release.
UK?
Yeah. Because I know in Berlin it was screened there for people to see who was going to take that up. So I'm waiting to find out, and I will let you know.
Okay. But as soon as that happens, let us know. We'll put it on Facebook. We'll push it out as well.
Yeah.
What about Final Score?
Yeah. So Final Score was shot in the West Ham Stadium, the old West Ham Stadium here, just before they closed it down and moved over to Stratford.
Yeah.
And it's myself, Pierce Brosnan, Ray Stevenson.
Ray Stevenson. Yes.
Yeah. And we spent.
Love Ray Stevenson.
He's
honestly
great. He's a good man. He's a very funny man. But we spent the whole time playing, you know, kind of Russian bad men.
Okay.
And then we blew up half the stadium, which I have to say was just brilliant. Just to see, you know, literally half of the stadium just going up in a big explosion.
Okay.
How
quite
long
incredible.
Did it take you take the producers to get clearance for that? That must have been quite some feat.
Yeah, it was. And I think the thing was their timing was impeccable because, you know, Scott Mann was saying, well, how do we do this? But the producers had planned the taking apart of that stadium and moving to the other one. So the whole management behind that move had bought into this movie. And I think we were just carte blanche, but we were living there. We were literally living and sleeping and being there, waking up in the morning, opening the curtains, and you're on the pitch. So it was fantastic.
Brilliant.
It's a great location to be able to destroy like that.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
And again, you don't know when that one's going to be coming out.
No, again, it's been given a US theatrical, but we are waiting to hear the date. As always,
as soon as you find out a date.
Yeah.
As soon as you find out a date, let us know. You're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Marcus E. Acko.
And I'm Laura Sampson.
In the studio with us, we have Craig Conway, actor, producer, and we have future actor, producer, director, movie mogul, Harvey Halfpenny. You okay?
Yeah.
Good, excellent. We're also Facebook Live, so wave to anyone who's watching us on Facebook. We've got a few people to jump on as well. I think a lot of people have probably heard Harvey just go on about DruPaul's Drag Race. I keep saying DruPaul.
You keep saying DruPaul. I know, it's like a new show that you've got for yourself.
I wouldn't mind seeing DruPaul's Drag Race. I mean,
DruPaul's Rag Race. It's just the complete opposite. It's just some guys.
I might call it that from now on, actually.
DruPaul's Rag Race. I guarantee you from now on, every time you watch it, you're just going to be thinking DruPaul's Rag Race. Yeah.
The drag queens are wearing good rags most of the time.
Okay.
Sounds like a great show.
So what we're going to do is we'll play a little musical interlude just to give us a little bit of a break. Anyone who is, we've got people on Facebook as well saying hi. We've got Matthew Pilgrim saying hi. Yeah, I'm looking all right. Looking good. I'm kidding. We've got Philippa Wilson, she's been following us from day one. She basically listens and critiques the show and tells me how badly I'm doing on the show. Brilliant. which is awesome. That's good. And she gives us her opinions as well. Just for those of you who are listening to the show live or on Facebook, send us your top five film or TV assassins, because that's what we're going to be talking about. Yes, we know we do have a child in the room, but he probably knows more about film assassins than you do.
Two of mine are our children.
There you go. So we will have that. So send us your messages on Facebook or on Twitter, and we might get to read them out. You never know. Let's play some music just for a bit, just to chill out, so we can take some pictures as well. And then we'll be back.
Cool.
I was five and he was six. We rode on horses made of sticks. He wore black and I wore white. He would always win the fight. Bang, bang, he shot me down. Bang, bang, I hit the ground. Bang, bang, that awful sound. Bang, bang, my baby shot me down. Seasons came and changed the time. When I grew up, I called him mine. He would always laugh and say, "Remember when we used to play?" Bang, bang, I shot you down. Bang, bang, you hit the ground. Bang, bang, that awful sound. Bang, bang, I used to shoot you down. Music played and people sang. Just for me, the church bells rang. Don't know why, and till this day sometimes I cry. He didn't even say goodbye, he didn't take the time to lie. Bang, bang, he shot me down. Bang, bang, I hit the ground. Bang, bang, that awful sound. Bang, bang, my baby shot me down.
You're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Marcus E. Acko.
And I am Laura Sampson.
In the studio with us, we have actor, producer, soon-to-be director Craig Conway, and actor, producer, future actor, producer, director, film mogul, owner of all the studios in owner of Pixar, Sony, everyone, Marvel, DC, Harvey Hoffman.
Give me a job.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you've got a long road ahead of you. Absolutely, because with all the pitches that you've been given, I like some of them. Some of them I think need a little work, but that's just me. I'm a harsh critic, so. Right, so we're going to jump straight into our next segment, which is our top five film discussion. And just in case you didn't hear that on Facebook, because your mom probably doesn't follow us on Facebook, but it's fine. Your kid's great. Your kid is awesome. I'm going to stick him in a room with my kid and just run this show, and we'll go have a drink. Great.
Yeah,
you're for a drink,
Rob? That's a way to do it, yeah.
That's good.
Great.
We could. I mean, a couple of hours later, we'll come back, listen back, and then make lots of money from all the ideas.
Couple of hours? I think Harvey and Jacob
whole
can
day.
Go head-to-head just nonstop. So our top five film and TV discussion today is top five favorite film and TV assassins. Hitmen. What is an assassin? An assassin is someone who gets paid to go and take someone out. I can say it. Harvey's fine. You know what, Harvey, you know what an assassin is, right?
Yes, like Deadpool.
There you go. So, yeah, not only do you know what an assassin is, you gave me a very good choice, which I think I should have put in my number one. I've already started crossing off numbers. Okay, so what we're going to do, the way we normally tend to do this, Craig, do you have your list ready?
Do you know what? I actually didn't pick five. I thought you just meant you were going to pick five and I was going to pick one of them. And so I didn't do five.
Do you want to do it that way?
I'm going to try and think.
I'm sure you can think of five. There are so many amazing ones.
You can tell us
which ones of ours you approve of.
There you go. I'm with you.
And which
on that.
Ones you would have chosen.
And I am one as well. Yeah. I have been a villain for assassinated on TV and film.
You have. In fact, one of the films I wanted to talk about, we don't have nearly enough time to talk about your body of work, The Tournament. I wanted to talk about The Tournament, but we'll probably talk about that afterwards. The Tournament is basically, it's a film where a group of assassins from across the world basically come together in one town to perform a tournament, where basically it's like the professionals. It's like the Olympics, but for assassins. And I want to talk to you about that, but we'll talk about it on another time.
No problem.
So, since you don't have a list, what we're going to do is, Laura and I will go back and forth with our top five, and you tell us which ones you watched, which ones you liked, which ones you don't like, which ones you think, actually, no, let's cross that off your list. We'll call this the honorable Deadpool list, because Deadpool is the best assassin you could think of, and I'm surprised, I'm shocked and horrified he's not on my list. But
it is
a shame on me.
Go and watch Drew Paul's Rag Race.
As my penance, I will go and watch Drew Paul's Rag Race. Go on, Harvey.
RuPaul.
I'm sorry, RuPaul's Drag Race. Laura, what's number five?
My number five. Well, first, actually, I have to say, in honor of He for She Arts Week this week, it was International Women's Day yesterday. Care to remember, I have racked my brains and chosen only female assassins. Despite all, really, most of my favourites being ninjas, actually.
Yep. Okay.
And they're almost always men.
True.
So I also haven't included films about groups of assassins like Takashi Miike's 13.
Sure.
You know, I couldn't really choose between them. They're kind of all rolled into one.
Sure.
And,
or Seven Samurai. You couldn't really go with Seven Samurai.
Seven Samurai. So, yeah. I mean, no samurai films, because everyone sort of works as a team.
Sure.
Although I was very sad to leave out Ito Ogami from Shogun Assassin and all of the Lone Wolf and Cub films.
Okay.
We'll
wait till I get to my list. But carry on.
I think I choose my. My book adaptation films as a book lover rather than a film lover, perhaps.
Okay.
So perhaps we can talk about the graphic novels as well.
So who was your number five?
My number five was the character of Mei from Zhang Yimou's House of Flying Daggers.
Okay.
She...
Good.
It's not absolutely clear that she is an assassin.
But that's
really
part of the job.
Really, almost throughout the whole film, people are after her.
Yeah.
And it was after The Assassin came out a couple of years ago, I think, that I went back to House of Flying Daggers, which I had obviously seen a decade before, and just seen how quite amazing it is. There's always everything you think about her, you have to revise.
So let's throw this to
film.
Craig. Craig, have you seen House of Flying Daggers?
Yeah, I have. But what I was going to say is, it's quite. You've got a battle on your hands here.
Uh-huh.
And I think because.
Does she not count as an
assassin? No. I think she does.
No, she absolutely does. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think she's going deep, man.
Oh,
she's,
no, absolutely.
She's going somewhere else with this.
See, here's the thing.
Your list better be good.
When she started off by saying that she went with female assassins, I was thinking, oh no, that's not going to help me out, because I had floods of the opinions of female assassins, and all of them were fantastic.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, none of them made my list, so that's on me. But yeah, so you got your number five as from House of Flying Daggers. What was her name in that again?
She was called May.
Okay, May. Do you want to give us your number four, and then I'll give mine as well?
My number four. Well, I've chosen one that I don't think will be allowed.
Okay.
Because she's not really an assassin. She's kind of an assassin in training, and it's only right at the end of the film that she gets the eye of an assassin. And that is the character of Matilda from Leon the Professional.
Sure.
Natalie Portman's first major film role.
Okay.
And she is absolutely not an assassin at first. She's a grief-stricken daughter and sister. But during the course of the film, dark and funny stuff happens, and by the end of the film you believe that she could,
you know what,
take out the people who...
Here's the thing. I would have given that to you until Craig said that I had a fight on my hands. So Craig, I'm going to blame this on you. Does she actually kill anybody in that movie? Then if she didn't kill anybody, then she's not an assassin, because the whole idea of an assassin...
No, hang on.
This is a little bit harsh here, because...
How is that harsh?
Because she is ready to be the assassin.
She's ready to be an assassin,
and
but
she's witnessed so much death, but the only thing is, she hasn't been able to pull the trigger, but she knows it. She's crafted. This girl's skillful.
The fundamental job description of an assassin is that you have to kill one person.
Yeah, if
it's like even Bond, he doesn't get his 00 status until he kills three people, and that's the typical assassin.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to side with you. Here,
thank
right.
you. Absolutely.
Okay. Number four. Number four.
I had a backup. I did have a backup.
Okay.
And my backup is, I think, the best female assassin in the whole James Bond pantheon.
Okay.
And that is Xenia Onatopp from
okay.
GoldenEye.
Okay. No, I agree.
There is
I
no
agree.
Arguing.
Famke Janssen is fantastic as an assassin in that. I will take that, and I will run with it. What do you think, Craig?
Yeah, very good. Okay. I mean, yeah, you're picking very well.
Harvey, have you seen GoldenEye?
No, yeah. But I would love to see GoldenEye.
Okay. Yeah, I think GoldenEye is you should be able to see that. It shouldn't be a problem. Okay, well, just before we go into mine, Stuart Ryder, another one of our fans for a long time, gave us his top five. He gave Leon from Leon the Professional, John Wick from John Wick, Nikita, American Assassin, which came out recently. I was just checking it up. Mitch Rapp is Dylan O'Brien. Those of you who watch, what's that? Maze Runner. You would know Dylan O'Brien from that, which I don't know why you're pulling that out, Stuart. Shame on you. But sorry, I haven't seen American Assassin, so I can't really judge. And Gross Point Blank. But more on Gross Point Blank in a few minutes. My number five from the movie, you said you weren't going to go with Shogun Assassin. I went with the American adaptation of that, which is Road to Perdition with Tom Hanks, Michael Sullivan.
That was probably a better film.
Yes, that's which is why I went with that. So you have an assassin who Tom Hanks, he's working for I can't remember, Moody, I think, which is Paul Newman, and he has to take his son and go on the run after Daniel Craig's character. This is not spoilers. This happens within the first 15 minutes of the movie. Kills his entire family, hoping to kill him and his son, but Tom Hanks takes his son and they go on the run to go and sort of kill Daniel Craig. What? I'm mixing. Not Craig David. That would be a completely different movie if it was Craig David. Craig David.
My imagination is turning into overdrive right now.
Anyway, so that's he's my number five favorite assassin. Have you seen Craig? Have you seen? That's what threw me. Craig, have you seen Road?
It's all your fault, Craig.
It is your fault, Craig.
Yeah, a while ago, and do you know what? Again, you've picked a good one there. You have picked a very good one. I still think at the moment, though.
At the moment, Laura's in the lead.
I'm kind of leading in here. Yeah.
Fair enough.
I think only because there's a little bit more well thought here.
Okay.
There's a little bit more craft going on here in this mind.
We'll see. We'll see. I have more. My number four has already been mentioned by Stuart Ryder, is Martin Blank from Gross Point Blank, John Cusack. He plays the ultimate professional hitman. Actually kills his targets.
Yeah.
And he goes back to his high school reunion, and he's being chased by my number four is a tie. I have Gross Point Blank, Martin Blank, and Grosser, who's played by Dan Aykroyd in the same movie, who
he
is
organized. He was my favorite fighter to choose between them.
That's why I lumped the two of them together. Because you have Dan Aykroyd's character who's trying to set up a union of assassins, and he's trying to recruit Martin Blank to join the group of assassins, but Martin Blank wants to be a lone wolf and he's actually thinking about retiring and whatnot. And it's a great movie. It's a fantastic movie. If you haven't seen it, have you seen Gross Point Blank?
Yes, I have seen Gross Point Blank.
What did you think? Yeah, what do you think of my number four?
Yeah, I think your number four is very good. Your list is getting stronger.
There you
it
go.
Is getting
excellent.
Stronger.
Excellent. Indeed. You're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Marcus E. Acko.
And I'm Laura Sampson.
In the studio with us, we have Craig Conway and Harvey Halfpenny. We're talking top five film and TV assassins. We have Philippa Wilson, who's just chucked in The Terminator. Would you consider The Terminator as an assassin?
Yeah.
Harvey saying no.
Harvey
shaking his head no. You wouldn't consider. I think the Terminator is an assassin because that's his prime directive has been sent to go back in time and kill. Harvey saying he's shaking his head. He's like no, no. You don't think so, Harvey?
Why not?
I'm gonna make you watch the Terminator tonight.
Yeah, and then you'll have nightmares. Tony Cook. Tony Cook has sent in Uma Thurman, the bride in Kill Bill. I wanted to put her on the list, but I was going to make this honorable Kill Bill list because it's a film full of assassins. That's the reason why we played the Nancy Sinatra tune just to kick off this segment, because she's awesome as a hit person, as an assassin. But is she on your list, Laura?
She is.
Yeah.
She is at my number two.
Oh, okay. So let's go to your number three first.
Let me talk about my number two first.
Okay,
my number
fair
two
enough.
And my
we're
number three are interchangeable.
It in.
And it was a really difficult decision between Uma Thurman's character and Lucy Liu's character, who I thought was robbed.
Oh.
She was robbed at the end of Kill Bill 1.
Okay.
She was so good, she should not have gone that way.
Sure. Nice.
And Bill.
Bill. Oh, okay.
The thing that clinched it for me for Uma Thurman's character was that whole thing and the Karate Kid scenes.
Yeah, sure. My favorite part in that entire movie is move your big toe. That's my favorite part. If you don't know the bit of that move your big toe, this is when she's just come out of the coma and she's in that truck and she's sitting there and she's like, I'm going to go and kill everyone. But the first thing I need to do is move, because she's like paralyzed, right? Because she just come out of a coma. So she has to move her big toe and she's just saying, move your big toe. That's my favorite part of that entire. I mean, yes, there are a whole bunch of other stuff that's great in the movie, but that one bit.
What a toe.
And I know. Yeah. Right. Okay. So that's just,
actually,
was that your number two?
She is my number two. I'm going to go back to number three now because I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, she is probably a more well-trained assassin and doesn't really know how to do anything else.
Okay.
And that is Saoirse Ronan's character in Hannah.
I knew you were going to say her. Hannah, yeah.
I love Saoirse Ronan and I'll basically watch anything she's in. Cate Blanchett the same.
Okay.
I found the film as a whole a little bit thin, but I enjoyed watching it anyway. And she's just a brilliant assassin. She's the story is that she's kind of genetically modified to have quicker reflexes. And
she's a human weapon, effectively.
And is therefore being hunted.
Yes. Craig, have you seen this movie? Hannah?
No.
Oh, it's got Eric Bana as her dad, who basically has taken her out, gone into the wilderness, like snowy wilderness, and it just keeps training her to be nothing but a killer.
Brilliant.
And the people who had, as you said, genetically engineered her to be that way come for her, and the dad and Hannah separate, and she has to pretty much try and get herself safe, and she ends up with this family that are backpacking and traveling across Europe, and she just happens she's learning how to become a normal girl living with his family while being chased by killers. It is a fantastic movie. I know you've seen it's thin in plot, but it's that's one of the reasons I really like it.
The chase of it too, and the twists when you find out that Hannah's not really afraid for herself.
Yes,
she is the protector of her father, really, and you kind of get flashes of it, and it floored me like a couple of times. because that's not, you know, it's the wrong way around.
I'll be honest,
she's
Laura,
what, 14 or 15 in the...
I'll be honest, Laura, your team is strong. Your team are good.
I have to say, revenge was one of my favourite subjects as a teenager.
Okay.
Perhaps we wouldn't. Perhaps we shouldn't talk.
I'm glad I'm sitting this out of the table here.
Yeah,
this is a very safe option here.
I am sweating a little bit. My number three, and especially when you're my number three, is my number three is Chuck Barris from Confessions of a Dangerous Mind. This is Sam Rockwell.
Yeah.
It's more of a joke kind of character. Chuck Barris, a creator of shows such as is it the dating show, the Gong Show, Blind Date over in America, and so on. He's known as, that's what he is, he's a TV personality, but he released this book called Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, where he basically confessed to being a CIA trained killer, and it just basically you just follow him around. It's George Clooney's directorial debut. Love that movie. Yeah. It's so wacky, and like I said, Sam Rockwell, he's fantastic.
You know, it's funny, isn't it? You were right when you said it before. It doesn't matter what Sam Rockwell does, whatever kind of movie he's in, you just automatically, it raises that film.
Mm-hmm.
He is just a sterling actor on every single level.
And if you haven't seen it, go check it out. It's called Confessions of a Dangerous Mind. It's great. Now, my number two, Ghost Dog, Way of the Samurai. This is Forrest Whitaker, yeah. Jim Jarmusch movie. I mean, you have the RZA scoring it. We talked about Kill Bill. He scored Kill Bill, but he scores this movie as well. And it's just Forrest Whitaker. You don't see him as a violent kind of person. And the character of Ghost Dog, he's very zen-like, the way he goes and does his thing. And he's just... They bring the East Asian element to the story of how he just goes around, and he has his code, the way he goes and kills his victims, only kills bad guys, and it's Ghost Dog is my number two.
Wow.
You're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. Those of you who are watching us live stream on Facebook, hi.
Hi.
I'm Marcus E. Acko.
Yo.
I'm Laura Sampson.
In
you
the studio,
can't see me.
You
Facebook,
can't see
me. But
I could turn the camera if you want people to see you. You do know people saw you when you went outside, right? They did see you because I saw on the camera. You went that way. People saw you and whatnot.
I'm okay with that.
Fine. With us in the studio, we have actor, producer, future director Craig Conway.
Hello.
And film mogul, film mover, shaker Harvey Halfpenny in the room with us. And right now, we're talking top five favorite film and TV assassins. I always put the title as TV and film because I wanted to do some TV assassins as well, but I couldn't really find any. But we'll talk about that in another show. Laura, what is your number one?
My number one's a TV assassin.
There we
and
go.
There
Prove
was,
me wrong.
There was no competition.
Okay.
It is Arya Stark in Game of Thrones.
Nice.
She's remorseless. Like inexorable, like nightmare killer, and she the part part is played so well. Maisie Williams,
yes,
just plays it so well. And especially the things that happened in the second half of the last series, mm-hmm. just blew me away. She is the best TV assassin I've ever seen.
I agree. One person that did pop into my head when I was just before, as you said, Arya Stark, was Jaqen H'Kar, the person who trained her to be the faceless assassin, who trains her to
He's
become...
He's nothing compared to her now.
You say that, but, I mean, come on. He gave her the skills. He taught her how to be faceless assassin.
But she's a faceless assassin, but more.
Are you
she
got,
gets
are you
to keep herself as well.
Now, let me just tell you, because obviously Neil did one of the finales. For
yes!
Now, I have never seen one
what?
Episode of Game of Thrones.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm very
Neither
serious.
Neither of you,
Harvey? No, I haven't, but no, I really want to.
It's you shouldn't see it just yet. But
yeah, give
but
it a bit of time.
Yeah, again, same as we talked about earlier, where you know Evil Dead and Child's Play. You shouldn't see that just yet. Maybe a couple of years from now, go for it, watch it. Same thing with Game of Thrones. Maybe not just yet. Your mother would not would not be happy with us for letting you watch that. But in a couple of years, go and watch the entire show. It's brilliant. You haven't seen a
no.
single episode?
And the reason is, because everybody and a lot of my friends ended up in that show.
Yeah.
And maybe it was because I didn't get on it. No. nothing to do with that.
You're waiting for Neil to say, all right, I'm doing the premiere.
Exactly.
You're like, oh, fine, I'll
oh,
do
if
it then.
Only, if only the guy who played Bronn hadn't got that part. I think it would have worked
yeah.
quite well.
Okay.
It would have been a completely different character, but he's just I really, really love this character, and he's still alive.
That's true. That's
after
true.
All this time.
That's
yeah, because this is the
Robson,
thing, is
right?
Everybody seems to die in Game of Thrones. Yeah. Or everybody kind of goes, who's going to die
next? No, but that's the thing. Those are the first few seasons, right? They've now established a set of characters that you know they're not going to die. So, yeah. You know, until the last season. The last season's coming out soon, so then everyone yeah. dies.
Well, I'm
so.
Waiting. I'm waiting for this to end.
Sure.
And then I'm going to start. I did it with Breaking Bad. Everybody watched Breaking Bad, and I never watched one episode, never went near it. And then I had this all-out marathon where I sat and watched every episode.
I Fair wish enough. I could watch all episodes of Game of Thrones for the first time once more.
I will.
My number one is Benicio del Toro as Alejandro in Sicario. If you haven't seen Sicario, go and check it out. It's an Emily Blunt movie, or she's in the movie, with Daniel Kaluuya. He's in the movie as well. Mm. But Benicio del Toro just sneaks in and steals that movie. They're doing a second movie, and it's about him.
I'm ashamed to say I haven't yet seen that
go
movie.
And see it. It is, in terms of film technicality, it's a great movie. You've been listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Marcus E. Acko.
And I'm Laura Sampson.
I want to take this moment to thank Craig Conway and Harvey Halfpenny for coming into the show with us. Thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thank you for
We're going to be posting this on Facebook. It's already Facebook Live. We'll have it on YouTube. We'll also have our podcast coming out on Monday. Harvey, you have something to say?
Yeah, I have a top two assassins as well.
Go on, tell us.
Well, they're not really assassins, but my second one is Katniss Everdeen from Hunger Games.
She's not an assassin, but I'll give you that.
She's
That's
quite
fine.
An assassin. Hunger Games is okay. Like loads of assassins. And my
you know, she's a better assassin than the assassin that Laura said from Leon. So, yeah. Who's your other assassin?
And the first one, it's not assassin, but please take it. It's Miss Peregrine's children, the bad guys. They're so like assassins because they kill people, but kind of in a way that you like it.
Okay. You know what? I haven't watched that movie yet. I'll go and watch it, and I will tweet your dad. I'll say whether I like, you know, if I do put them on that list. Okay. So we're just going to push to some other, to our next segment, which is...
recommendations for things on Netflix, Amazon Prime.
Perfect. And we'll use that to play us out. So those of you on Facebook Live, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So my Netflix recommendation for this week is Jessica Jones season 2. I've just started. It literally dropped on Thursday, this Thursday, and I've just started watching it, the first episode. And I have to say, Netflix Marvel is stepping up its game. I know it was exceptional with Daredevil. And then Daredevil season 2 with the introduction of the Punisher just was out for me fantastic. Then Jessica Jones came in with season 1. I thought that was great as well. Strong female character coming in and kicking butt and taking names, and she was great. And then Luke Cage came in, brought in that soul vibe. You had Harlem representing, and it was great. Mike Coulter played an amazing Luke Cage. I still feel that particular season would have done better with Mahershala Ali as the main villain, you know, Cottonmouth being the main villain, as opposed to, okay, I won't spoil it for you just in case you want to go watch it, but anyway, either way, so that was still great. And then Iron Fist came in, and I have my issues with Iron Fist. If anyone have heard me rant about it, Iron Fist, for me, is low on the totem pole for the Netflix Marvel series. And then they brought in Defenders, a short season, which was great because, again, they didn't really have much to do, but it was still interesting to watch all of them come together. And then Punisher came out, and Punisher just basically ranked as number one for me for all of them. Punisher was an excellent season on its own, and now
Jessica Jones season 2 has come back, has come into fray. I want to see how this goes. I'm recommending people go and watch it even before I finish it, because the first episode starts off very well. So I highly recommend Jessica Jones Netflix.
Fantastic. Well, my recommendation is actually a Cinema Paradiso recommendation. It got delivered to our house this week, and I've watched it before, but I was really happy to watch it again. And it was the film Your Name. I don't know whether you've seen it. It's a really beautiful anime film about a boy and a girl who switch bodies and all the comedy that goes with that. And it's also quite a heartbreaking story about the Japanese countryside, but also about teenagers finding life hard and the shortness of life and what is the difference between waking up and dreaming. There's all kinds of different stuff going on. It was a massive, massive, massive hit in Japan, and then it got a general release over here on cinemas, and then was quickly went to DVD, where it's done really well as well. I've seen it a couple of times now, but I saw it again this week, and that's my recommendation for this week.
You've been listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Marcus E. Acko.
And I'm Laura Sampson.
Thanks for listening.
See you next week.